Blog Talk Radio.
Guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome. You're listening live to the Frank Williams Show, and I am your host, Frank Williams. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in to the show, and welcome. Those of you who are listening via my show page live online at Blog Talk Radio, thank you guys for tuning in, and those who are listening via landline, cell phone, however you're listening to the show, thank you guys for tuning in. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. That number again is 516-531-9483. Call in. Let's talk. Now, when you call into the show, once you call in and get connected, you can press the number 1 on your keypad to be able to be on the show live, or you can just sit there and listen in, okay? Again, 516-531-9483. Now, today's show is brought to you by Frank Williams Realty. For all of your real estate needs, call 404-564-9689. It's the office number, or 678-549-0274 is my cell. You can also reach me via email, frankwilliams@kw.com. My web address is frankwilliams.kwrealty.com. All right, that's frankwilliams.kwrealty.com. There are a lot of ways to get in touch with me, guys. So if you have any type of real estate needs, whether you want to buy or sell, or you know someone who wants to buy or sell, put us in touch and let's make some money together. Nice referral fees, and I take care of your clients from top to bottom, start to finish, okay, until they have their keys in their hand ready to go in their new place. All right, again, that's Frank Williams at kwrealty@kw.com. That's my email. You guys can connect with me there. Okay, and if you're listening to the show, you can send me a message through the show. You can click on the icon that says follow this show, and then that will get you into my area, and you can send a message to me from there. Of course, you can reach me at Facebook. Just search for me on Facebook, and you can get me there as well. All right. Again, 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. Now, before we get started, I guess I'll talk a little bit about just some different things that are going on. Now, of course, you guys know the Georgia Bulldogs are on the top of the charts as far as number one in the country for college football. We're probably being talked about more than anyone else in college football right now. And, you know, just before I get started with today's topic, I was talking to someone about name and likeness for these college athletes. And he proceeded to tell me that, you know, Frank, they don't need to make money. They're getting a free college education. Well, I told him, you can stop right there. Because it's not free. Although you're there on a scholarship, they want you there because you can play football or dribble a basketball or hit a baseball or hit a tennis ball or gymnastics or play volleyball or soccer, whatever it is. They want you there on their team to help them win. Okay? And they give you a scholarship because you're that good. And they bring you to that school so that you can help them win. By you helping them win, they win-win, right? They win in the sport, and they also win in money. The colleges get all the money. And, you know, these student-athletes get nothing. They get all the money. And, you know, the guy kept saying, well, they get a free education. It's not a free education. Stop saying that. Because, you know, you got to put in blood, sweat, and tears out on that football field or in that gym for basketball or on that tennis court for tennis or whatever sport you're playing. You're putting in the blood, sweat, and tears. So it's not free. It's free if you were able to go there. This is free to me. You being able to go to that particular college, go to your dorm room, go to class every day, eat every day, study at the library, go back to your dorm room, go to sleep, and get up and do it again. That's a free education. Not having to get up and go to practice in the morning or whatever time it is in the afternoon or whatever time it is that you have to practice. And they schedule your classes around that practice. That's not a free education, guys. And then, on top of that, how many of these student athletes, really graduate? If you look at the statistics, it's very few. Then how many of these student athletes go on to play professional sports and make money? Very, very few. And how many of these student athletes go on to professionals and make money, make a lot of money, and be very successful? That's very, 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 very few. One thing I did hear, though, that there was 112 professional athletes in the NFL from just the state of Georgia. 112 athletes in the NFL just from the state of Georgia. Now, all the other average like 9, 10, 11 players in the NFL. Georgia has 112 players in the NFL. You know, Frank, why are you throwing out that statistic? Well, it's a true statistic. And to me, it's pretty good. It shows what kind of talent is in Georgia. All right, 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. Let's get going. Today's episode is entitled, "We Didn't Get Taught How America Works While We Were in School." We didn't get taught how America works while we were in school. Frank said, you say, Frank, what do you mean by how America works? America is all about money, nickels and dimes, dollar bills. That's what America is all about. You can go out and commit a crime. Commit a crime now. I'm not saying murder someone or nothing like that. I'm just saying something like, rob a convenience store or steal a car or, not something major. But even something major sometimes, y'all know it. If you got the cash, if you got the money, you can get out of it. If you know the right people, the money to pay those people, you probably would be able to walk away. Now, we weren't taught that in school. Actually, in school, we never even got taught how money works. And that's what makes America go around. Americans and the government all about, even what I was just talking about, you go down to these college football games, they're all about money. And then you talk about, some of these coaches saying, Nick Saban, the main one, talk about he thinks name and likeness was a bad idea. Okay, why do you think name and likeness was a bad idea? Because some students are going to make more money than others, and that's going to create a friction between the other student athletes, this and that. Okay. Well, why are you making money? Why are you making $10, $11, $12 million a year? Why don't you give up your money? Why don't you coach on a scholarship for no money? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? So, Nick Saban, you don't think that other college head coaches, have some kind of feelings against you because you make this kind of money? In your contract, you have to be the highest paid college coach. Why did you put that in your contract, Nick Saban? And then they talk about these kids transferring, going to other schools and going into this transfer portal and going to other schools and playing. The transfer portal was a bad idea. Okay, why is the transfer portal a bad idea? If coaches can pick up tomorrow and go to another school and coach, why can't the student athlete pick up tomorrow and go play for another coach? Oh, the coach is okay for the coaches to do it, but the players can't do it. That's a bunch of crap, So when we were in school, we were taught, real young, and I remember this like yesterday. We were taught about pennies. We could learn how to, you know, count money with pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, right? You remember in your little paperback tablets you had? And you open it up to page 15, and we were on page 15 in class, and then you had a quarter and a nickel minus a dime equals what? Okay, so you had to add that up and see what it equaled. It equaled 20 cents or whatever it was, right? So that's how we were taught about money, how to count money. We weren't taught what money was used for. Used for paying bills, paying your mortgage, going out buying groceries, going out buying supplies, going out buying clothes. We weren't taught that. You know, you just jumped in the car with mom on the weekend, and y'all went to the mall and bought a few things. Came back home, had school clothes. We weren't taught how to get those school clothes. But there's one thing we were taught. We were taught the so-called political branches of the government, Republicans and Democrats. We were actually taught some political stuff. Because that's what America is about, politics. But we weren't taught about the money, which is what America is all about, is money. We weren't taught about money. We weren't taught how to handle a checkbook. We weren't taught how to balance a checkbook. We weren't even taught how to write a check. But when you get old enough and get out of high school and go to college, or maybe you didn't go to college, you just got your job because that's what you knew that was around you. I got to get me a job. I got to get me an apartment. I got to buy me a house. I got to buy me a nice car. But you didn't understand that you needed to go to college, try to get you a degree, make your money with a degree. You weren't taught that you needed to go to a community college and learn a skill, air conditioning, heating, construction, whatever it is, whatever it was. You weren't taught that, right? You were taught how to get a job. And so that's the problem. We weren't taught how to be entrepreneurs, how to go out and how to start your own business, how to make money from that business, how to profit from the business. You know, someone said, I made $2 million last year through my trucking company. Wow, $2 million, wow. You didn't make $2 million through your trucking company. $2 million may have passed through your trucking company, yeah, between January and December. But you had to pay. Those trucks didn't run all year long without something going wrong. You didn't do all the work. You didn't drive all the trucks by yourself. Someone helped you. Well, no, I don't mean that. My company made $2 million. How much did you make? Well, after everything said and done at the end, I took home about $140,000. Okay. Well, that's what you made. After all your expenses, that's how much money you took home, which is a decent living. No problem. But we weren't taught how to start a trucking company coming up through school. We weren't taught what it's like to have your own business when we were in school. We were taught how to get a job. How to get a job. You know what a job is? A job is a J-O-B. A job keeps you just over broke. Just over broke. So if you lose your job, how long will it take you to be dead broke? No money in your accounts. How are you going to pay your house note next month? How can I go to the grocery store and buy food for my family? I got two kids. I got a wife. I got two car notes. I got to pay insurance. I got to pay mortgage. I got to pay insurance on that house. I got to pay for lights and water. Gas at the house. I got to pay for gas for the car. Now I need to take care of the yard, so I have to get me a lawn. I got a lawnmower, but I need to put gas in the lawnmower. I mean, it's so much that there's no way you can't have a job. There's no way you can survive without either having a job or having your own business. Someone asked me today, he said, Frank, if you could get $10,000 a month and to work for it, don't have to go into work every day, but you're going to get $10,000 a month for the rest of your life. Or, this is the catch, or you can make $350,000 a year working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. What would you do? And you say, man, I'll take the $10,000 a month and do nothing as far as working. I wouldn't work. I'd stack that money. I'd stack the money that I could after paying my bills. I'd take some time to go do some stuff I really want to do. Take some trips. Do some things. Because what's going to happen next month? You're going to have another check coming in for $10,000. Think about it now. Think about what you make now. Think about your monthly income now. You're having to go to work every day, maybe 5-6 days a week, 8, maybe 10 hours a day for what you're taking home right now about how to make money. Now, somebody that's, you know, there's college professors out there that are teaching your kids that are in college how to start their own business. You know, someone said to me one time, that's a problem right there. That's a problem right there. Because you got these people in college, in these colleges, that have master degrees. And they're teaching you how to start your own business. How to be successful in business. Right? Well, why aren't they out there with their own business being successful? Why aren't they out there being successful? These professors in college that know how to be successful now, they have the answer. They're teaching you. They're teaching your kids how to be successful in business in America. Why aren't they out there being successful in whatever type of business they're teaching your kids? Why not? because they went through school, did well in school, and then they get out in society, get their asses kicked, and then they run back to school. I got to go back and get my master's degree. I want to go back and teach. So, you know, that's a problem as well. That's a problem as well. Where your kid or your child or you need to go and learn how to start and run a business is someone that you know who started running a business and been successful at it. The key right there. Been successful at it. See, these A students go through school and get all this knowledge, supposedly, and they smart as hell, and they end up working for C students. The C students had a dream of building their own business and making money and being successful, and that's what they do. But the A students try to run through school and get their master's degrees and be all, you know, run out there. I got a master's degree. I'm going to teach. You're going in school to teach, and now you're making $40,000 a year. And you're working for C students. A students work for C students. Think about that. But America wants to keep us where we are. They want to tell you, get out there and vote. Get out there and vote. 516-531-9483 is the number to the show. And you know, I'm not kicking college. I mean, I sent my oldest daughter. She went through college, got her degree. My youngest daughter went into college and did some things, and she's actually into architectural school. She wants to be and work in architecture. And that's fine. Be what you want to be. I'm not going to push you this way or the other way. Be what you want to be. So now, actually, she's being more successful with her own business, and she's making money, and before she's just running back and forth to school, not making any money. So I don't know, where's that fine line between working and going to school? Where's that fine line between owning your own business and working for someone else? You know, I work for someone else, but I also do my own thing on the side. Until my own thing on the side takes over the money that I'm making at while I'm going to work for someone else, then I can walk away from someone else and keep it moving. Think about it, guys. Think about it. I know you have already. Don't know how to do it. But as someone who's doing it, that's successful at it, or willing to teach you how to do it, why wouldn't you listen? Why wouldn't you do that if that's something you want to do? That's how America works. But if you're like me, my parents, well, my dad kind of owned his own business. He used to do sheetrock, contracted with another company as an independent contractor and did sheetrock, and they were building these new houses in new construction. But my mom, she went to work every day. 30-something years and then retired. So, which is the thing what's the thing to do, Frank? Should I go out there and try to start my own business, or should I work for someone? Well, what did I say earlier? Just over broke for a job. But if you go out there and someone teaches you how to be successful, the sky's the limit as far as money goes. You can make as much or as little as you want. I think that's awesome. But our kids aren't being taught that in school. So how am I going to help my kids? You got to help them to see other avenues for their dreams. Because everybody have dreams. I have dreams. You have dreams. I don't know what your dreams are. I know what mine are. I don't know what yours are, but you do have dreams. And why can't you get those dreams? Because you're running back and forth every day to a job that's not paying you enough money to get those dreams that you want. This job not paying me enough money to have the dream house that I want. This job is not paying me enough money to have the dream car that I want. I'm talking about material things, of course. Yeah, that's right. But this job is not paying me enough to go for 2 weeks to Paris or Greece or anywhere you want to go, Hawaii for 2 weeks. Go to, some people love Alaska. Go to Alaska for 2 weeks. Go to California for 2 weeks. Go up in the Great Lakes for 2 weeks. Can't do it. I got to go to work tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. See, we limit ourselves to running to work every day. Making money, because that's what we were taught in school. We weren't taught to have our own business. If we were taught to have our own business, we all would have our own business. We were taught to go through school, come out of school, get a job, work for someone who has their own business. That's what we were taught. So remember, guys, hold on to your dreams. You have them. You have them right there in your head. You can write them down, put them on something, put them on the mirror in the bathroom. Do whatever. Put them, you know, hang them up in your car. Look at them every day. You know, they say the brain is so powerful. The brain is so powerful because you can look at that dream. You can look at that Ferrari, that $350,000 car that I want. That Ferrari, I can look at that $350,000 car. But until you go and look at it and smell it and touch it, that's why I tell people all the time. When I bought my first house, my wife and I, we found this house. It was being built in a brand new neighborhood, and we live not far from it. So we drove by that house just about every day, going to work. And then this while they were building it, and once they got it to a point where, you know, it had appliances in it and stuff like that, we started, and this may have been against the law, but my wife and I, we started going by there at night with our flashlights, and we walk in the house. You know, it was open, but we go in the house and we shine flashlights in there. And we were like, okay, this where the couch gonna be, right next to the fireplace. And this where the love seat gonna be. And we gonna put the TV over here, and then this gonna be the dining room. Put a dining room table in there, and this gonna be the kitchen. We need a kitchen, so we got to put a table in here. And then we had a laundry room back there for the washing dryer. Then we went upstairs and said, this is where the bed going to be, this and that and this and that. All we were doing was dreaming. We were dreaming. But you have to go and touch and feel and smell that dream. Once you do that, that brain will start working, trying to figure out how to get this money, how to get this dream. How can I get this house? How can I get this house? How can I get this house? I want this house. That's how dreams work. You know, a big car company out there, and I got a few more minutes left in the show, but this will be my last little thing. There's a big car company out there called Mercedes. You go to the Mercedes dealership tonight, right now. It's what is it? It's 7 o'clock, a little after 7 right now. You go to a Mercedes dealership. They're still there, I guarantee you. You go to a Mercedes dealership. There's going to be someone to come and greet you. As soon as you turn onto that lot, they see your car coming onto that lot. Okay? They there waiting for you. They say, here come Frank. He ready to buy it. He ready to buy him a car. Why else are you turning into the Mercedes parking lot? Why else are you turning into the Mercedes parking lot? You turn in there because you want to look at the cars. And you know, at Mercedes, they don't have price tags on their cars. Because their motto is, if you need to know the price, you can't afford it. Let that sink in. If you need to know the price of this car, you can't afford it. Because if you knew the price of the car, you probably wouldn't go in there. But because you don't know the price of the car, and because it's a car that you like, and because you are on your job or you are a business owner, you go in there and pick it out. I'm gonna get me a Mercedes. And then guess what Mercedes does? The guys at Mercedes, they're like, come on in, Frank. Okay, which car you want to look at? I want to look at that 500 coupe, that 500S coupe convertible. I want that red one with the cream seats, and I want red trim on my seats. Red trim on my seats. And I want that red steering wheel, camel leather in the top and the bottom of the steering wheel. And I want my floor mats. I want my floor mats to have my initials on them, FW. I want that one. Hey, Frank, we can get you those floor mats. We can get you the leather that you want in there. We can get you that steering wheel that you want. We're going to order this thing. Okay? But in the meantime, this red one that I do have right now on the lot with the black leather, it's got black leather, and it's got Mercedes on the floor mats. And it's got a regular Mercedes steering wheel in it. It is convertible like you want. So why don't you do this? While we're waiting, we're going to order your car. But why don't you go ahead and take this one, go home with it, drive it for the weekend or whatever, and you come back on Monday and let us know the car you want. Okay? So you start shaking in your boots. Like, oh, man, what? I didn't hear it right. Did he say take it home for the weekend? Now, of course, they want to know if you can afford it. So they're going to run your stuff and see where you are financially. But they'll let you take that car home for the weekend. No strings attached, because they know this. This is a dream of yours, and once you get in that dream and drive it, And you sitting in there, you driving home, and you laid back, you done adjusted the seats and everything. You laid back, and you didn't let the top down before you left the dealership. But as soon as you got down the street and turned that corner, you stopped and let that top back. And now you ride to the crib. You lean back, driving. And you know what's happening right now? Your brain is thinking about how to make this happen, how I can make this happen. Because that leather smell go up your nose and you start figuring it out. The brain is powerful. Don't let nothing get in the way of that. Nothing. Jam on it, guys. This Frank, I'm over and I'm out. I'll see you. Come on!
Yeah.
Y'all remember this, don't you?
Jam on it.
Yeah.
We know. Come on, Frank. See ya.
Down and then you give me no sack like a pussy. Jingle with the sack of Big Mac. We're throwing down and with the rack.